Good morning. How are you? Ready to go? I think I start every time that way, ready to go. My sophomore year, I played basketball, and at the end of my JV season, I got a call from the coach, and he said, we're going to pull you up to varsity for the playoffs. So I was like, sweet. Awesome. I'm getting called up. So in the first game in the playoffs, I just expected to sit the bench. But at some point, I got into the game. And the ball, the other team shot the ball, and I went up and I grabbed a rebound. And in a moment of panic, I thought to myself, do I shoot it here or not? Can you imagine if I got called up and scored for the other team? I can see the coach, we didn't call you up to play for the other guys, right? What if I started to run their offense all of a sudden, right? And that wouldn't be what I was called up for, right? Well, that didn't happen. I got my senses and I kept playing. And then I actually did get an offensive rebound and I put the ball in the basket, right? And I know, amazing. And I'll be, I know, it is amazing. It's a miracle. The crazy thing is all of a sudden I got this big smile, and I couldn't get the smile off my face. And I knew that wasn't cool, but I couldn't get it off my face because I scored for my team. And in fact, one of the dads leaned over to my best friend's dad. He said, that boy cannot get a smile off his face, right? So it was evidence, the joy of scoring for my team. Now we're in 1 Peter 3. What in the world does this have to do with anything? I was called up for a purpose. And we as God's children are called up, called for a purpose as well. If you look in 1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to be focusing on verses 8 and 9. But it says, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For this is what you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. We were called to bless. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this morning, a chance to be together, to worship you. You're worthy of worship. And so would you teach us through your word this morning that we might be and do what you called us to be and do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so this is the third part in our series. The first week, we went through 1 Peter 1, and we talked about how we have a living hope. Joel stood up here with a rose that looked great, but it was dead, right? That we have a living hope, and we're called to put our hope in Jesus who is alive, right? And then last week, Kyle talked about how we are to silence the talk of evil men by doing good, right? That we yield to the Lord. We put ourselves under the authority of the Lord, and we allow him to overcome evil by us doing good, right? This week we talk about the fact that we have a calling to bless others. And so in this passage in Peter, just as a reminder, Peter's writing to the churches that are scattered around the Roman Empire, and they are under persecution. They are being persecuted because they are anointed by God to be his children. Right, they are persecuted because they believe the gospel, both from the Romans, but also from the Jews as well. And so this is the context which he is writing. And so we see in verse 9, before we get into, so what we see in this passage, the two, verse 8 is basically talking about how we together as a people live in a world hostile to the gospel. And verse 9 is basically a passage of how we are to respond to hostility, right? But before we get in there, I want to go to the very end of the passage, which says, it says to bless, for this is what you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. Now, I'll be honest with you, as preparing this, I wrestled with this passage, and I didn't like the last verse. I'm like, what does this mean? Bless that you may obtain a blessing from the Lord. How does that jive with the gospel of God's grace? His unmerited favor. I'm like, what is going on? But what we see in this passage is very clearly taught that based on how we bless others, that there is a blessing coming from the Lord. It's very clearly taught. So how do we reconcile that relationship? Before we get there, I just want you to know that Peter pushes in a little bit more, right? In verse 10, it says four. It begins four, and then he quotes Psalm 34. Okay, he quotes Psalm 34. So it says, "Bless, for this is what you are called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, and then let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Now, this is a psalm of David. David wrote this psalm. He wrote this, and in the time that he was writing this psalm, he was in exile. He was anointed to be the next king of Israel, but Saul was still king, and Saul decided he didn't like David a whole lot, and so he was pursuing to kill him. So he had to flee Israel, and he had to go into the neighboring nations, and he ended up in the kingdom of Abimelech, all right? So he's standing before another king, a foreign king, and he pretends to be crazy because he's so afraid, all right? This is what's going on, and he writes this psalm. So what you have is David, who is anointed by God in exile, right? And he is writing the psalm based on this. Now, the verse right before this in Psalm 34, it says this. "Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." So you have David, who's in exile. He says, "Come, my children, I will teach you the fear of the Lord." So this passage is an instruction to the people in exile who are being persecuted on how to fear God. And it begins with, we must love, whoever loves life and see good deeds must keep his tongue from evil and his speech from speaking lies. So you see this. This is what it means to be blessed. There is a connection between returning blessing to others and the blessing of God. There is a connection in this passage. So I wrestle with this. How is this the case? How is this the case? This is what I know. I know that Paul writes in Romans 8. He says this, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death." So there is therefore now no condemnation. So if you know Jesus, if you placed your faith in him, if you trust him in his death and resurrection and his ascension to the Father, you do not look forward to condemnation. There's no condemnation in that. Later in the chapter, it actually says, nothing can separate you from the love of God. So the blessing of God by faith in Christ wins assurance that you'll be with him and not condemned. And yet Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, he says this, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, while good or bad." Now, many times we hear the word judgment seat, we hear judgment, and we think condemnation, right? But in this passage, Paul uses a word, it's called, the judgment seat is called bema. He uses this word, and a bema was essentially a raised platform at an athletic contest. And essentially, the judges would sit on the platform, and they would make sure people follow the rules. And then it was also the place that they would pull those who had won, and they would grant the awards from the seat. And so what you see in this passage is Paul is saying that we will stand before Jesus, and we will receive rewards based on our faith. It's a beautiful picture, right? We don't look forward to condemnation, but we do look forward to commendation, right? He will commend us. How awesome is that? If you look back, there is a correlation between us returning blessing to others and us receiving a blessing from God. There is. If you go back to 1 Peter chapter 1, we go back there. Now, it's going to be on the screen, but I'm going to jump around a little bit. If you look, it says, "According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. An inheritance that cannot fade. It cannot be taken away. A little bit later, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So the genuineness of your faith, your faithful service, will result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus. A little bit later, it says this, therefore, prepare your minds for action, and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Set your hope fully on the grace that is to be revealed when he comes. Right? Not partially. Fully. What is that grace? The blessing of God's grace is if you trust him and you believe in him, you have assurance that you'd be adopted into his family. Your inheritance cannot be taken away. That is the assurance you have. That will be revealed. The other thing, the blessing of his grace gives us a spirit in us that empowers us to be the people he wants us to be, right? That's a blessing of his grace. Right now, we have a spirit, and we can return good for evil. He's empowering us to do that. And still, another grace that will be revealed is that we will be seen for the faith that we have exhibited, especially when we struggle, when we're persecuted, or when we're oppressed, or when we endure hardship for the sake of Christ. That will result in praise, glory, and honor for the Lord. Do you think when you stand before the Lord and you receive a commendation for your faith, do you think you'll have joy? I couldn't stop smiling because I scored a stupid basketball, right? I had a team. I'm not on that team anymore. This is the kingdom of God. And when we return blessing for evil, we score for his kingdom. And we will receive a blessing from God. And so when we struggle, it's not, trials aren't just there, yes. We do grow in our character, and that's great. But that's not the only reason. And yes, we endure so we can get to the other side, but there's something about our struggle and how we do it that brings glory to God, glory and honor to Christ. He sees us, right? If you look at the end of Psalm 34, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil and blot out their name from heaven. God's eyes are on us when we endure suffering for his sake. He's on us. And he hears our cry. So in those moments, we can trust the Lord. We can know he sees us, even if no one else does. You know, sometimes we receive that blessing from, sometimes we obtain the blessing in this life, sometimes, some of it, and sometimes we just don't. I have a friend who was a part of the inner circle of a business. He was in the inner circle, and he was thrilled to be a part of this thing, and they brought someone else in to help the business grow. Well, this person knew my friend was a believer, but they also started to have an inappropriate relationship with the secretary there. And slowly over time, this person pushed my friend out of the inner circle. It impacted his career. But he did not return evil for evil. He did not see the blessing of God in that moment. But don't you think the Lord sees us? Don't you think that the Lord looks at him and the fact that he did not return evil for evil? He did not go back to disparaging someone else or gossiping about him, the other person. That wins glory and honor for Christ. So we endure. We return blessing. He was faithful. Sometimes we don't see it here, but the Lord sees. There's a classic tale that is told. I don't even know if it's true, but it's a good illustration. There were missionaries who were returning from Africa, and they were returning after a career there. But they happened to be on the same boat with Theodore Roosevelt, who was returning for a big game hunt, right? And so when they got there, what happens is Theodore Roosevelt gets off, and there's bands, and the mayor greets them, and there's all this stuff going on, but there was no one to greet these couple as they got off the ship. And the man was struggling. He was saying, this isn't right. Something's wrong. He turns to his wife and says, why have we given all our lives in service to the Lord, and there's no one here to greet us? She said, well, you should probably go spend some time with the Lord. It's a good wife. And he comes back, and he has a different countenance. She said, what happened? He says, I was just brought it to the Lord. I said, here I am. I'm coming home, and I've given everything to you, and there's no one here. And yet this other person who's just coming back from entertainment gets greeted. The Lord said to me, you're not home yet, right? You're not home yet. It's not time to receive your commendation. There is a blessing that God returns when we walk with him, even in hostility, especially in hostility, especially when persecuted, especially in hardship. We need to set our hope firmly in that hope, in the coming of his grace. You were called to bless others. You were called to bless others that you may obtain a blessing from Christ. You were called to bless others. Now, with that foundation, I just want to turn. And we're just going to look at the chapters, or verses 8 and 9. 8 is just about what does it mean to be a community who lives in a world hostile to the things of God, hostile to the gospel. How do we live out our lives together as the body of Christ here? And this is the passage. It says, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Now, I wrote it this way. There you go. It wrote like this because this has a chiastic structure, okay? So a chiastic structure is a biblical literary device that basically does a list and then backs the list out like a mirror. And usually what's in the center is the thing that's to highlight it. Okay? So what you see in here is it says, have unity of mind. So sometimes people translate this, be harmonious or like-minded. But the picture here is though we are different, different backgrounds, different thoughts, different stations, we seek to be unified. We seek to be of one mind. We seek to come together. Do that. Sympathetic. Now, sympathy, a lot of times we think of sympathy and we think of, you know, kind of come along someone who's struggling. But that's not the biblical context. Sympathetic means to both enjoy someone's joys and to enter into their suffering. So it has both to do with joy and suffering. It's basically entering into both. That's what it means to be sympathetic. Brotherly love. We know what this is. It's to love someone more than an acquaintance, more than a friend. It's to love like their family. Right? So that. And then you have a tender heart. Now, a tender heart means that you are genuinely affected by other people. Like, genuinely. Like, you're moved by their life. And then a humble mind is the ability to not just look at yourself, but to put others before you. To consider others' thoughts, others' desires. And what you see in this structure, how are we to live in a world that is hostile to the gospel, is you have this moving from being humble and moving in such a way that grants unity to a place of we're tender-hearted so that we care about one another, into a place of brotherly love where we genuinely love one another. This is a community of blessing where we move into family. It's a community of blessing. Now, there are pressures on the community of faith to pull this apart, are there not? There are pressures that cause us maybe not to live this way. And just think about the opposite of this. Imagine having a proud mind or being proud that leads to fracture. Being cold-hearted that leads to being distant. That ultimately leads to treating people as strangers and apathetic. That's the opposite of this. And there's a pressure that we experience to not live according to this. This passage is directed not in general, but at the community of God. So it's not just saying be humble to everyone or be tenderhearted towards everyone, although those things are good. This is directed toward the community. It's how are we to live together. And so with the things coming at us, the way that we return blessing, the way we live out this blessed community is we need to regularly consider how we might be bringing unity. Regularly consider how we might be humble-minded. We might regularly consider how we might be tender-hearted and move to compassion towards one another, how we might treat each other as family. Regularly considering this. Habitually building one another up in love, right? We're to habitually build one another up in love. So sometimes we might consider how we might say something or do something to serve one of us, to serve a brother and sister. In that, we keep ourselves tender-hearted and connected to one another. We might consider other things we need to apologize for and ask for forgiveness to restore unity and live at peace. In that way, we stay humble-minded and we protect the unity of the body. We live in a hospitable place. You were called to bless others. It begins with the community in which we live, so that you may obtain a blessing from the Lord. Now let's just wrap up with the last, 1 Peter 3:9. How are we to respond to those who are hostile? And we've already looked at this, but it says, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For this is what you are called. Bless means to entreat God that he might show his favor to someone else. That someone else, entreat God, I'm going to bless you. It is my desire that you might experience the goodness of God. That's what it means to bless. But you could also just say blessing in this context. It means when you receive evil, you don't return evil. When you receive reviling, you don't return reviling. When you receive disrespect, you don't return disrespect. When you are oppressed, you don't return oppression. Right? That's what it means to bless. One author says there are three levels of responding to evil, or really responding. You can return evil for good. That would be the satanic level, right? We return evil for good. You can return evil for evil or good for good. That's the human level. We respond in kind. But there is another level, and it's to return good for evil. And that's the divine level, is the way of God. I don't know about you. I like to play with magnets when I was a kid. You guys ever do this? You put two magnets together, and I know it's maybe I'm a little ADD. I don't know. But you just kind of move the magnet closer and closer, and all of a sudden the magnet just goes boom, like this. I find that fascinating. But they just kind of snap together real quick. It's like it's just sitting there. All of a sudden, boom. I experienced this driving the car. When I'm driving, I can be relaxing, and all of a sudden someone gets just completely angry at me because I've probably done something. But, you know, they might have a gesture towards me or they come up and they're like this. And I'm like a magnet. Boom. I want to respond just like that. What is your problem? Seriously. You're a jerk. It's like human. Church, we are not the children of this world. We are the children of God. We were called to bless. Bless those who persecute us. Jesus said, pray for those who oppose you. Pray for those. So my response, though, seems normal. My response should be, no. I can pray that the Lord would bless that person. That's the divine level. That's what we were called to. And this wins praise, glory, and honor for Jesus Christ. I don't know what that means, but I'm pretty sure that it brings joy, that when we stand before him and we see how we've walked with him by faith, we receive our commendation, we will know how awesome it is we will see that we experience the joy of the Lord. Now I want to call the band up here as we get ready here. We don't want to be just a church that listens to things. We want to respond. And so I want you to consider right now, I want us to join together as a church and let's consider who we can bless, who the Lord might be calling you to bless. Now, you may be, I mean, Josiah called us into this at the beginning of the service. Maybe the Lord has done something during this time. Is the Lord calling to mind someone who maybe you're returning evil for evil with right now? It could be just in your heart. Consider who you might ask the Lord to bless. Is there a place that maybe your pride is continuing a fraction within the church and you need to ask the Lord to help you with that, to resolve it? Consider blessing the body of Christ by stepping into it. Or is there a place that someone has there's someone who the Lord's put on your heart that you might serve them, that you might be tenderhearted, that you might come alongside? You could bless that person. I just want us to take a minute and consider what the Lord, how we can be a blessing to the world and to those around. So just take a minute, bow your heads, listen to the Lord's voice. He has won for us our salvation, where our station is secure. Where might the Lord ask you to bless someone? Lord, help us fill our calling. Help us to fulfill our calling. We need you for that. You have blessed us so much. Help us be aware of that blessing, even this morning. In Jesus' name.